Welcome to another message from God's Word. This message is by command performance, actually. I was asked to preach on this subject, and I'm going to do my best to do that. I want to go first to Genesis 1 and 1 and 2. The title of this message is, In Eternity Past. In Eternity Past. Now, the Bible tells us about things that happened in eternity past. There is a misnomer in today's world. We have Christian fads that go along here and now and during a period of time. The fad that we're dealing with today and in the last 10-15 years, tremendously, is that the earth is only 6,000 years old. The earth is much older than 6,000 years old. People today are lazy when it comes to Bible languages. They do not study the languages of the Bible. The Bible is written in the Hebrew Old Testament, except for some places in Chaldee, and the Greek New Testament. Now, I have spent my life teaching the Bible from Greek and Hebrew. And one of the reasons why I've done that is because of my stepfather that raised me. He was an atheist. And he tried to teach me to be an atheist, and it didn't work. I had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He always belittled Christianity. And he said if he was going to be a Christian, he would be a Catholic because that's the oldest church. Well, I began to study the Bible. And God put a conviction on my heart, a calling on my heart, that he wanted me to preach his word. And my dad was in prison at that time. He was a very famous outlaw, Dale Oliver Remley. And I wrote to him and I told him, I said, Dad, I think the Lord is wanting me to call me to preach. Well, he always called me a dumb Indian anyway, until I started writing him letters in prison. He taught me everything that I knew in this world, training horses, building, carpentry, agricultural, anything, veterinarian work. We did it all. Training horses, laying cement, plumbing, electrifying things. He taught me how to do everything and working on cars too. But I told him, I think God has called me to preach. Well, he wrote me back a letter at that time. He said, well, son, if you're going to be preaching God's word, as you think, he said, you better learn Greek and Hebrew because the Bible wasn't written in English. I began to study Greek and Hebrew intensely. And I wrote him translations of the Bible from Greek and Hebrew. And then he began to think I wasn't quite so dumb Indian as he thought I was. Well, before he died, he made a profession of faith. I did his funeral in 1999. I hope that he believed and made a valid profession of faith. He had been a wonderful man in many ways, but an outlaw also in his life. If you look him up, Dale Oliver Remley, you'll find out famous scoundrels and many of the things that he did wrong, they caught him doing. I knew many things that he did wrong that they didn't catch him also, and I knew many, many things that he did right, and many people that he blessed in this world. Including me, I don't know what I'd have done without him. I don't know what I'd done without him. I can say that. Now, that little personal parenthetical explanation of why I'm teaching in Greek and Hebrew. The Greek and Hebrew straightens out your theology if you will allow it to do that. I'll repeat that. The original languages in Greek and Hebrew will straighten out your theology if you will allow it to do so. If you really believe the Bible, then believe it. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, the real name of the book of Genesis is Bereshit. Genesis means beginning in Greek. The names of the Old Testament come from the Greek Septuagint, not from the Hebrew. Now the book of Genesis starts off with Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim we et haaretz. Look at the word Bereshit for a moment. Beit is the beginning of it. It's a Hebrew B, a Beit. And Beit, you can look it up, it is a preposition. On page 88 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, Hebrew lexicon, Hebrew Chaldee lexicon. It says in, just like our Greek word in. The Greek equivalent of that is in, just like our in. And that's on page 137 in Analytical Greek Lexicon. In. That's a preposition. In is location. That means location. In, and then it says Bereshit. It comes from the word Rosh. Rosh in Hebrew means head or beginning. Mm-hmm. That's on page 912 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Yeah. And the equivalent in Greek is arche. Now, at the end of this word, Bereshit, is a tau. And in Gesenius' Hebrew lexicon, it tells you that tau is an ancient Hebrew plural. So now, let's look at it in Hebrew and translate it into English. The English should say, in beginnings. Now, the beginnings there is plural, so it means in one of the beginnings, or in one beginning more literally. It is not in HRK, or in the beginning, as it says in John 1 and 1, in RK. That means it's specific in the absolute extremity of time. There is nothing past John 1 and 1 out here. That's when only God existed. Let's look at the chart from eternity to eternity. And we're talking about things that happened in eternity past right now. In eternity past. Not like the theological fad is that the earth is only 6,000 years old. And that they believe the Bible. If they believe the Bible, they would believe it in Hebrew, because that's the language it was written in. And the Hebrew Bible says, in one of the beginnings, or in a beginning, in one of the beginnings, what happened in one of the beginnings? Bereshit. Bereshit bara. Bara is third person masculine singular, cal perfect. The word bara there means, in one of the beginnings, he had created. And perfect tense, it means it's done, it's over with, it's finished. That's perfect tense. Anybody ought to know what that means. Now, if we believe the Bible, we're going to believe this. In one of the beginnings, he had created Elohim, that's God, that's the whole Godhead, that's the word for the triune God, okay? In RK, Ein Ho Logos Kai. I got back into Greek for a minute. Bereshit bara Elohim, et Hashemayim, et. That is a sign of the direct object in Hebrew. And that et there means something is going to receive action. Barashit bara Elohim et hashamayim. Ha is a Hebrew definite article, the. Hashamayim. The word mayim there means waters. I want you to imagine. In beginnings, God created the uplifted waters. That's what it literally means. But what it means is everything that would be above the uplifted water. Now the earth, just imagine that the earth is like one of these complete circles here. And around the earth is a bubble of water, ocean in the sky. This is the way it was in eternity past, okay? Now the earth wasn't created yet. But what God is saying here, that everything from the other side of those uplifted waters has been created. In other words, the universe. Let's look at it this way. Barashith, in beginnings, he had created God, the universe, the cosmos. Everything out there. And not only did he create the cosmos, but he created the space to put the cosmos in. In one of the beginnings, he had created God, the heavens, the cosmos. We et ha'aretz. We, conjunction, and ha'aretz, the earth. The word earth there means dry land, page 76 of Brown, Driver, and Briggs. He created the earth. After he had created the whole universe, and all the stars, and all of the suns, and all the planets, and the Milky Way. And Marilyn, you've gone out here and looked at these Milky Ways through here, haven't we? I mean, there's millions of stars up there. Can you number them? No. Can you number the sands of the seas? No. Well, he created all that. And then he took a little old piece of dirt that came from him. All of this came from God. It was created from all the things that were invisible were created from him. Everything came from God. And then he hung the earth in exactly the right place in that cosmos. So many planets away from our solar system, our sun. And that was done in eternity past, where time did not exist, but time did exist. How long ago was that? We do not know. I'm going to tell you some evidence that we have, scientific evidence, that can go back in eternity past, beyond Adam, into this period of time when God created that earth. Now, let's go to Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2 says, We ha'aretz, ha-ha, togu wa-bogu. We hoshek el panei. Hoshek el panei, ha-mai. And then it says, Ruah elohim, mer pesheth el panei ha-mayim. It says, and the earth that God hung out there in exactly the right place. The earth, she had become third person, feminine, singular, cal perfect. The earth, she had become formless and void. And darkness became over the faces of the deep. And then it says, Spirit God. Not a wind from God, as the Jewish Publication Society says, but Spirit God suffered over, mourned over the faces of the waters. And then we have the reconstruction of the earth from there on. the reconstruction and the rebuilding of the universe, or the earth as we know it. What happens in Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 or 2? Genesis 1 and 1 is in eternity past. Genesis 1 and 2 is in eternity past. What evidence do we have? What evidence do we have that anything happened out there in eternity past? Okay? What evidence do we have? Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and Job 1. Job 1 and 7. Isaiah 14 talks about Satan, or Lucifer, falling from heaven. The book of Revelation tells about it. The book of Luke tells about it. Job tells about it. Lucifer took with him one third of the spirit forces and one third of the angelic forces. That means that two thirds of the spiritual forces and two thirds of the angelic forces still are with God, obeying and following God. Those spirits and those angels have a volition. I know some of you that might shock you and jar you. Some people don't think that humans or angels or anything has volition, that they were created in the state that they're supposed to be in. I do not believe that. I don't believe the Bible to teach that. In the book of Galatians, it tells us, Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Now I... But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that He might receive the adoption as sons. In the book of Revelation, it says, in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, and verse number 8. Now it's talking about the beast of Revelation. The beast of maybe, possibly, the Islamic world. This beast. The beast in the book of Revelation is a bad guy. The beast in Islamic Revelation is a good guy. The Antichrist in the Bible is a bad guy. The Antichrist or the Mahdi in the Islamic writings is a good guy. The Antichrist in the Bible is a bad guy. The Jesus in Islamic Revelation is a good guy. Opposites. And all who dwell upon the earth will worship him, this beast, or the person that the beast points to. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world, for actually from before the foundation of the world, in the book of life of the Lamb who had been slain. Now it says the Lamb stood slain from before the foundation of the world. That's an eternity past, people. That's an eternity past. Now let's go one more place. The book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Let's start in verse number 23. That's where that subject starts, actually. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with their better sacrifice than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, a type of the true one, but into heaven itself now appeared in the presence of God for us. Nor was it he should offer himself often as high priest did, enters the holy place year by year with blood not of his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to be suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once, hapax, at the consummation of the ages, he has manifested himself to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ in eternity past stood as a lamb slain. Jesus Christ could feel the nails in his hands, the lashes on his back, before he ever created a man. Before he ever created one man. Galatians 4 and 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us. When the time had come. That's the time right here, the cross of Calvary. Right over here. But that plan stood from eternity past. What evidence do we have that eternity past even existed, that the earth existed in eternity past? As far as we know, by some biblical chronologies, that Adam was created about 4,000 B.C. or so. That's before Christ. We live in this year, 2019 A.D. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Now, what happened to these turning fast? Angels were created. The earth was created. The heavens were created in eternity past, people. Eternity past, not in time. Can you measure eternity past? Can you measure something that lived in eternity past? Can it be done? I think so. About 20 miles as the crow flies that way. That is southwest of where I stand. There's a group of trees there that are called bristlecone pine. And those trees in 1958 when I lived here, there was a man by the name of Shulaman that went up there. And he began to study these old, gnarly-looking trees called bristlecone pines. Now, in the 1840s and 50s and 60s, white man had come into this country. And they began to use everything they could use for firewood. Down on Owens Lake, there was a great big lake down there, many miles wide and across. And they would carry all the charcoal and firewood they could over there to the silver smelters. They were stacking up silver over there in bars like stove wood. And they were burning everything inside. They got up into those trees up here in the mountains, the White Mountains, and they cut down cedar, and they cut down pinyon pines, and they got up there and they found this one wood that was so hot when it burned. In Lighty Canyon, Indian Creek, there are great washes. They have flash floods up here. And down those creeks they wash from those mountains back up in there, there are different groves of these bristlecone pine, and you'll find this driftwood coming down. And people for thousands of years have been picking up that driftwood. And some of it is as heavy as a rock. And I picked up some one time, and I put it in my wood-burning cook stove in my house down here. In Fish Lake Valley. I had wood-burning cook stove. I put a little too much in there one time. And that stove began to go foo, 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 foo. Vibrating. It was 30 below zero outside. I opened the door. My stove was turning red. And it was going woof, 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 woof. I shut the intake off. I opened up the outlet all the way open. I was trying to smother the fire. It's still going foo, 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 foo. You could see it. My plate caps on top of the stove were going like this, and they would push out smoke and then draw it back in. Foo, 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 flood like that. My stove, the whole top turned red. And then it began to turn white. And when it could turn white, it seemed like I could see the flames through the lids. I was nervous. I didn't want my house burning down around me in the middle of a 30 and below zero winter. I got a spray bottle I had been using to spray on my charcoal pit, and I opened up the thing and I started beginning to squirt water down in that firebox trying to put that fire out. And I mean, steam was going woof, woof, woof. The house was smoking, and I had the door open and I opened the windows. It was bristlecone pine. Hot. That wood has got so much pitch in it that it won't rot. It won't rot. And that tree, those trees, after they have died, they can stand there standing up for 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 years standing there. Nothing's going to bother. Totally protected. Years ago, they used to take oak and different kinds of trees and cut them down, hickory trees, cut them down, and soak them in creosote so the termites wouldn't eat them. So they preserve. You don't have to do anything to a bristlecone pine to preserve it. Now, you can go up here to Schulman Grove and the White Mountain Research Station, and you can go back up there and you can see these trees. There was a tree called Methuselah. Methuselah lived to be 969 years in the Bible. It's almost 1,000 years. The oldest known man in written history, Methuselah. They call that tree Methuselah. That tree was 5,000 years old. That goes back to 1,000. It goes back over 3,000 B.C. But then they began to study. They found a tree even older than that one that's over 6,000 years old. People, that's older than the earth is supposed to be. I want to tell you something about these trees. These trees rewrote history. They thought Mount Vesuvius erupted in a certain year. That tree tells you exactly the year that that Mount Vesuvius erupted. The exact year. You can tell when the flood of Noah became by those trees. The real wide ones. And you can tell the coldest year, the narrow, cold rings. Let me tell you something to shut this jar your thinking now. When I first saw it, it jarred my theology. But then I began to think. They have a written record of those trees that goes back to over 7,000 B.C. 7,000 years before Christ. That's 3,000 years before Adam was created. Do we have any evidence of eternity past? Those trees rewrote history, people. You say, boy, that guy's a heretic. I defy you to go to Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 and 2 in the Hebrew Bible and come to any other conclusion than what I have given you. I had 6 years of Hebrew in class, reading and research. I had 12 years of Greek in class, reading and research. And I taught both of those languages for 50 years since then. Grammar is grammar. I believe the Bible to be inspired by chance, mode, and voice. And if so, now do you believe the Bible is inspired? King James didn't write the Bible, people. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. We know that. Eternity past. Those trees alone, without any other evidence, go back to 7,000 B.C. Beyond it. They say some even 10 and 12,000 B.C. I have no trouble with that, with knowing the Hebrew Bible. Had a doctor one time here a while back. There was a biblical teacher also. He goes around teaching people that the earth was created 6,000 years ago. I don't know what he's going to do with those trees. Those trees don't lie, people. And the Bible doesn't say that God created the heavens and the earth 6,000 years ago. It says that God created the heavens and the earth in eternity past. Now, we don't know how long Satan even worshipped God. He did. And then he fell. What evidence do we have of Satan's fall? Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 tells us that he destroyed the earth and the inhabitants of the earth. Now, what were the inhabitants of the earth? According to fossil records, real fossil records, and some people try to say that they don't exist either. Now, we can't negate those bristlecone pine trees right up here. Those trees have records that go back more than 7,000 B.C. You can't get rid of that, people. It's there. What else do we have? Down that way yonder, Marilyn, what's down there?
The hot tub.
What? What's down yonder beyond the hot tub?
The
petrified forest.
Yes.
Now, how come we have oil in the ground? How come we have fossil fuel? And how come we have fossils that one time were on the top of the ground, but now they're a mile deep? You know, I've done a lot of things in my life. My boy said I lived 250 years and 75. And a lot of my people, my friends, say the same thing. I've been busy. I worked, I did a lot of things in my life. I've done everything under the sun almost. That be a politician. I just didn't think that was honest work. I drilled oil wells, drilled water wells. I worked in refineries. I run gas stations. I've been a mechanic. Been foreman over hydraulics. I preached. I've been a carpenter, electrician, a plumber. I'm actually a pipe fitter by trade. If you wanted to know what I've done more of, the pipe fitting. Or preaching. Training horses. Doing all kinds of stuff. But I drill water wells and oil wells. And when I drill water wells and oil wells, I run into fossils down there a mile deep. Maybe 2 miles deep. How did they get down yonder? My next message is going to be from eternity to eternity, and another one after that is going to be the history of man. The history of mankind. Back in eternity past, God had the plan for mankind. Back in eternity past, He created the earth, and the earth was not created void. The Bible says. It was not created formless and void. From down here, from the petrified forest, there was a tremendous forest of like sequoia and redwood trees right here. The oldest and largest petrified redwood tree is here. Giant tree. I can take you there where a whole forest was. They're all crumbling now. The trees are crumbling, but the roots and the root systems are still there. And the flora and the fauna, the animal life and the vegetation life is there. To prove that that animals lived and vegetation lived. And how old do they say that is? With their carbon dating. Let me tell you something about them bristlecone pines up here. They even corrected carbon dating. They had to correct carbon dating because of those trees. Because it proved that was wrong. But those trees go back to more than 7,000 B.C. That petrified forest goes back more than 7,000 B.C. Now those trees were living. Living in 7,000 B.C. Do you have a problem with that? I don't. Because that's an eternity past. Did something exist in eternity past? Evidently there was vegetation. Those bristlecone pines up there saw God create Adam. They can show you when Adam was born, right on those tree rings. They can show you where Noah lived. And all of the water that happened at that time. When Mount Vesuvius erupted, the whole world was turned into an ice age. And the bristlecone pines tell you when that ice age was, the exact year and the months, and how long it lasted. When Mount St. Helens blew up, I'm going to tell you something, it got cold here in Fish Lake Valley. And those bristlecone pines went through another cold winter. Back in the 60s here, the cows, almost all the cows froze to death, 45 below zero. There were animal life, according to fossil records, and vegetation in eternity past. In eternity past. In eternity past, God planned to send forth His Son to redeem you and me. And not only that, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the cosmos that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The cosmos is not man. The cosmos is the whole universe. Jesus Christ died not only to redeem man, but the world back to God. Deep things from God's Word. I encourage you to read the Bible and believe it. I encourage you to study the languages of the Bible a little bit. I did 140 classes in the book of Genesis. Every verse in the book of Genesis is down there on the website on video and audio. I did the book of We'elei Shemot, the book of Exodus. That's a very interesting book. You'd be surprised how the Bible, what light the Bible sheds on these translations. I hope you've learned a little bit about that today. Did something live and breathe back in eternity past? Oh, yes, it did. And God existed. In our K, ain, ho, logos, chi, ho, logos, ain, pro, stone, theon, chi, ho, logos, ain, theos. In beginning, the absolute beginning before anything else was created, kept on being the Word or the Jehovah. The word there is a Hebraism. It comes from the word Hadabar in Hebrew. Hadabar, that means the Word. After Exodus 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for He shall require it of you. Israel done never, ever, a Jew would never speak the name of God again. That name is Jehovah, by the way. I mean, we say that, we don't know how to say it, but Jesus in Revelation, the 19th chapter tells us about that name that nobody knows but himself. The Word of God, the whole Logos, the Ha-Davar, the Hashem, the name. In beginning kept on being Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. That's what three sentences of John 1 and 1. In beginning kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being inseparable part of the Godhead, proston theon. Kai hologos ain theos, or kai theos ain hologos. Either way you want to put it. Because the Word, the Jehovah, kept on being God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God's Word? Jesus came into this world to save sinners. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem you and me that were under the curse of the law. We have eternal life now through Jesus Christ. If you believe. Do you believe? Do you believe something exists in the eternity past? Like I do. Like the Bible teaches. Like those trees up there indelibly point. Those trees can tell you when God reconstructed the earth. Those trees can tell you when God created Adam and what the climate was like then. Oh, what a wondrous thing science is. True science and the Bible are not butting heads. They agree. True science and the Bible. Our Heavenly Father, I send forth this message. If one is out there that does not know You, I pray that they come to know You and ask You to forgive them of their sins for what Jesus did for them. And Father, I pray for those out there that they will believe Your Word beyond all translations, beyond all theology, that they'll be in harmony with what You actually did. Father, please forgive me where I fail You. I pray for my students. I pray for them. And Father, I pray that You comfort them with Your Word. I pray for all of them, Ron Medina, in Bakersfield, that inspired this message. Donald Grewar, Nancy, Randy. Father, many that I can't even name. Nick Moore in Texas, be with him. Be with Randy Little in their times of hardships. And Father, I pray as my students go through trials in this life that You uphold them with Your Word. I pray that You comfort them and wrap them in Your arms. I pray for the ones in the Solomon Islands and the Philippines and Australia and New Zealand. The ones in India, Africa, China that listen, Japan. Touch each and every life with Your Word. Give them courage and strength and help them to witness for You for what they've learned. Help them to be so excited with Your Word that they got to share it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.